Christmas. It's Thursday, 6th of November, and it's 7 p.m. and this is the full council meeting. Just to start, the town clerk is recording the meeting, and myself, I'm recording the meeting, and you're very welcome if you'd like to record the meeting as well. So into the agenda, 25307, to receive apologies of absence. But just before we do, we have got a very long agenda today, and I'd really like to be out there by 9 o'clock, not 9:30, if we can. So I'm going to restrict the time down, members of the public, strictly as 3 minutes. So you will be stopped at 3 minutes, and I'd really appreciate as well if councillors, if we could keep it. Please come through the chair tonight, because I know we've sort of been going across the table, and if we could, you know, keep it to a minimum as well, if I'd appreciate it. So if we could receive apologies for absence, please, and a vote of acceptance be taken.
We have apologies from Councillor Williams, Councillor Parsons and Councillor Davidson.
Okay, thank you. Do we accept the apologies?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
25308, to recall declarations of interest. Members are invited to declare any relevant interest, notwithstanding this item. Members are subsequently declare an interest at any point during the meeting. Would anyone like to declare an interest?
Could I declare an interest on 25233 in relation to the local plan delivery of leaflets? I know the person that we quoted, who is put forward.
Just to the record, do you mean 25332 and not 233?
Yeah, it's the one on the local plan.
And I need to declare an interest in item 321 from the Fish Mersey. I'm just a volunteer for it, not on the committee or anything.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
Thank you. I declare on the City Council and also item 25338, which I'll left to leave the room. And I'll also possibly be leaving the meeting then, and I've actually got to get somewhere else.
Okay, thank you.
Which one is that?
25330.
330, okay.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Moving on to 25309, the public session runs for a period of 15 minutes, 3 minutes per speaker. Do we have anybody, members of the public, that would like to speak this evening, please? Thank you, Chris. Anybody else? Thank you. So, thank you. Who would like to go first, please?
Oh, okay. I've been co-opted. good evening, Chris Wood. So, the last West Mersey Town Council meeting ended on a tempestuous note with item 25306 to consider the mayoral procedure and civic protocol policy sponsored by Councillor Powling. This was an intellectually bankrupt proposal, a masterclass in cut and paste, and proof positive once again that Councillor Powling now resides in a scruple-free zone. Councillor Powling acknowledged in debate that there hadn't been such a mayoral policy for years and could not answer, when challenged, why there was a need now for such policy. Apparently, there had been no such need when he was mayor, nor when Councillor Weaver was the previous mayor. When pressed, Councillor Powling could not explain his motive, rationale, and it descended into nonsense. It was painful. Councillor Acker asked why now. What was the pressing need for such a policy? Councillor Powling could not elucidate, so it fell to Councillors Webster and Hinderwell to answer the question. That, given the existence of the Code of Conduct, in force since 2020, there is no such requirement, no need whatsoever for the proposed policy. It's an interesting paradox, isn't it? During the last two councils, there were numerous breaches of standing orders. This seemed to present no issue for Councillor Powell. There was repeated unlawful council conduct with numerous refusals to comply with data legislation, ignoring FOIs, again, seemingly no issue to Councillor Powell. Yet he now chooses to become animated about an invented need for a mayoral code of conduct. I'm so pleased he has his priorities in order. So I'll call it out for exactly what it is. This proposal was little more than a thinly veiled attack on the current chair. Councillor Powling betrayed his agenda, betrayed a lack of moral compass, and betrayed the sourest of grapes. Most importantly, betrayed his lack of relevance now to the council. It was ill-conceived, cynical, hypocritical. It was bullying, the taking of a hammer to smash a nut, an attempt to achieve political gain. But the result was another epic fail, serving only to expose his true colours. So I formally call on Councillor Powling to acknowledge this latest lack of judgment, to withdraw the proposal and to apologise to the Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Who else would like to speak, please?
Okay, I'll speak next. I have just noticed that a bill has been passed which is supposed to allow more private and localised bus services. I'd like to draw attention to the fact that our bus service has deteriorated to a terrible degree over the last 5 years. Bus services have gone from changing the timetable 6 times a year, in which they would use the excuse that nobody catches the buses, well, nobody knows when they run. They've also changed, on average, they've changed the buses to hourly. They have double standards because the tide, now the buses stop at 4.7 metres rather than 5. The time of buses is 3 hours of buses are cancelled when you reach 4.7 metres.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The number of buses run has been reduced since first bus took over. The school bus has been incorporated into our bus service. Therefore, the 12 minutes past or just after 4 o'clock usually goes straight past because it has just school children. They changed the number of the buses, and you look for the app on the phone, it just says no service. They're doing the best they can not to run a bus service. And I would like and hope that this council can have a say in changing that, and perhaps we can set up, I don't know, a semi-bus service of our own that can fill in some of the gaps. Since our bus stopped going to Peldon, they have now got a better service than we have. The Peldon bus runs to Mersey about 7 times a day, and only 3 of those does it actually run back as a service. It runs back to Monkwick with absolutely nobody on it. It doesn't cost anything to run from Mersey to Monkwick. They've got to go there anyway. Why can't they run the bus in service? That's it. Thank you for that.
Thank you. We do have the buses to consider on the agenda as well. Item number 25335. Yeah. So thank you for your comments. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Okay, thank you.
Mine is just an observation as much as anything. In this day of high energy costs, I wonder what steps the council were taking to reduce the energy consumption. I've just come past Fairhaven Toilets, which has been closed since the first of the month. The lights are on. Secondly, walking along the Esplanade, I think it was Tuesday afternoon, going past, as it happens to be on the agenda, the changing places facility, the door was open, wide open. I checked to make sure there was nobody inside the changing places facility. There wasn't. The heater was working full blast and all the lights were on. I would ask that the council look at things like this because it's just money down the drain.
Thank you. you. Your comments are noted. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else would like to speak? Okay. Councillor Giles, would you like to speak? 25310.
Well, thank you, Madam Mayor. We're really ahead of ourselves on this meeting. Never mind. Right, yeah. One great success, really, to get the pothole on the street repaired within 2 days of desperately asking for it, having run through it nearly ruined my suspension. But the consequences of someone having a breakage and then going through the Strood railings, high tide, too much. It has happened in the past, actually. Rather, someone went through and was killed. So that's one minor thing. Other issues is we had a report from the County Council point of view, because I'm not the City Council. Would you believe older drivers are safer? So our roadkill reports come in. We had actually it's gone up 57 last year, up from 47 the year previously. Then in terms of adult and social care, which is important really because of local government reform, I learned that the top 100 children who are receiving, these are the worst cases, are costing us £56 million a year. So if you look at a 24-hour, three-shift service, what does it say? It's £12,000 a week per shift. Next year, we don't know about elections. I think that the city and borough locals probably will go ahead. We still don't know whether the county elections will go ahead because they would only be in place for a year. And the cost of a county, full county election, is £2 million. I'm desperately hoping it is next year. Because as you may or may not know, I've been trying to stand down for the last 18 months. But there you go. Now, the other thing is that in the local government review, which I shall probably hand over to someone, something I've always known, but it's actually now down in print, urban areas receive 40% more per head in government spending power than rural areas. Rural areas pay 20% more in council tax. So that lays out very clearly that places like Mersey are getting the short end of a stick. Not good. Now the other is something I'm going to give to, well, I'm going to loan to John actually. The main agenda and proposal for the local government review. And just to give you an idea of something that you could take over, it gives you the assets. And these are going to be for neighbourhood development committees. There'll be 28 of them in Essex. And Mersey, for some strange reason, is going to be Mersey, Tiptree, which is basically what the county division is, and Brightlingsea.
John, that's your 3 minutes. Thank you.
I know
it's very important. But if you want to catch up with John, perhaps afterwards, that'd be appreciated.
Yes.
Thank you.
Other councils actually don't have restrictions on councillor statements, but never mind.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. There's 2 points that our town clerk's going to detail from Councillor Parsons.
Councillor Parsons just wants everybody to know that the local plan committee is to meet on Monday the 10th of November. We said that this is not to approve the draft local plan, but decide whether it should go out to public consultation. And the second point he raised is that he's now received assurances from senior planning officers in response to concerns that have been raised on behalf of West Mersey Town Council that consultation, when it happens, will not be solely online.
That's good news. Can I just ask, I appreciate, Councillor Jazz, you know, that is important what you were saying, but I do believe that our town clerk took some advice, actually, with regards to councillor speaking, and am I right in saying that councillors are treated the same as members of the public?
That's what I was advised that was
thank you.
The public, and it's still 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Culture is fine.
Discretionary.
Thank you.
It's too spare, actually.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Perling.
No, I was only asking to repeat exactly what Martin just said.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to 25311 to confirm the minutes of the council meeting on the 2nd of October. Has everybody got a copy of the minutes?
I've got one comment to make.
Okay.
I think we accepted under 25295 the town clerk's report. I think it don't we normally record that we accept the town clerk's report?
We haven't previously.
You haven't previously?
No.
Then I think we should, because there are factual points there that need. Well, it's up to the
clerk. Can you check whether we need to do that? We vote to accept. I mean, there's nothing on the
issue to accept.
No, you don't want to do that.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
25306. It's just that that says to consider the West Mersey Town Council mayoral procedure and civic protocol policy, but as I pointed out at the meeting, it shouldn't be V because that wasn't one. It should be A. Indefinite article there. And subsequent to that should say a mayoral policy procedure policy was reviewed or discussed, because there isn't one and there never was one. I don't know how you want to reword that, but it implies so that there is a policy there.
So just if I can just get this clear, it's to consider a West Mersey Town Council and mayoral procedural civic.
Yeah, not policy. The definite article, that's what it needs to be A. Because that implies that there is one on, there is an existing one. Not anyone's going to bother with it. But.
I suppose there as well, it's got to be A as well. Okay, so with the amendments to 25306, does anybody else have any comments, please?
No.
Thank you. Can I have a proposal with the amendment, please? Councillor Baker, seconder, please. Councillor Hinderwell, all in favour?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's done.
Okay.
Councillor Baker?
Yeah. I wasn't here.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Powling? Thank you. Abstain?
Abstain, yeah.
Okay. Councillor Weaver? Abstaining?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe if you weren't here, wouldn't you say that?
Right, okay, so 25312 to agree and approve a list of payments. So this has to be done by somebody that's not signatory.
Normal signatory, so Dave. Doesn't matter.
So who would like to agree the approved list of payments, please?
I don't mind proposing that.
I think you just need to sign it.
Well,
okay.
Well, okay.
Thank you.
I signed kind of stuff earlier, so. Just at the bottom, anywhere.
Anywhere, didn't you?
Do you need me to write my name?
The date, maybe.
Which is?
It's the 6th of November.
This is his birthday, I should know.
Okay, thank you very much. Moving on to 25313 to provide an update from the following A committees. Who would like to go first?
Well, I'll go first to make it very short indeed. Finance. We haven't met since, but we started on the budget for next year. Quite a lot of work. So the next meeting we should have a bit more information, and that's it for me.
Okay. Can I just ask, do we have a date for the next meeting?
Yes, I've got it in my head. It'll be a week after you come back.
Okay, thank you.
Monday or Tuesday, because that's an important
What's some sort of date?
24th, 25th or something?
Oh, I don't know.
I think you might want to confer with the town clerk. There's two meetings on the 24th already and one on the 23rd.
23rd?
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
It's planning, isn't it, on the 23rd?
No.
Oh, my apologies.
I won't be here.
Well, 23rd is a Sunday, isn't it?
Oh, right, okay. So, 24th.
Well, anyway, I'll ask who's available. And
thank
we
you
need,
very
we
much.
We need everybody there, so.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Ecker.
Yeah, on Environment and Community Services, we've got the minutes on item 25333. We had an extraordinary meeting on the 17th of October. I can either deal with it there, Chair, or now.
Now would be good, thank you, Vincent. We're going through the updates on the committees.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay. The update is that the meeting was called because of the issue that arose in Fairhaven, where residents had said that the cropping of trees was taking place and there were concerns about the impact that could have on red squirrels. We wrote to Essex County Council. There were other concerns that came up about the cropping of trees, but the red squirrel issue was the main one, and the fact that they could be impacted by that. We wrote to the Chief Executive of Essex County Council, and I'm pleased that we've got some progress, because the Chair, or the Chief Executive, has acknowledged the interest of West Mersey in the fact of its trees and how important the trees are in certain areas, and has offered an urgent meeting with the council so that we can go through the procedure which is involved with the cropping of trees. And they have postponed the cropping of trees in Fairhaven into the early new year. So a success, I think, for the council, and I think will be welcomed by all those who treasure red squirrels and their presence on this island.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Acker. Councillor Hinswell.
Yes, planning. The meeting was held on the 27th of October. Only three applications were there to be considered, fairly minor extensions, porches, etc. So not a lot to report there. Next meeting is on the 17th of November at 10 a.m.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Hinswell. Chair of Essex, we haven't had an Essex meeting since last full council. We are due to have an Essex meeting, I believe, on the 18th of November. And I'm also chair of the Personnel Committee. We have had a Personnel Committee meeting. We have another one on the 24th of November. We have been working through quite a lengthy list, I think it's fair to say. And it's work in progress. Okay, so 25313B, working groups. Councillor Acker.
Well, we've got the report from the local plan working party later. And I think, Chair, in view of what Councillor Parsons said about the thing, about the update, I think I would reserve comments.
Okay. C, representatives.
Yes, I've got a report to make in relation to Bradwell. I'm appointed by this council to be on the consultative committee for Bradwell. It has been very active. This is the committee which looks at the existing premises and site on Bradwell from the point of view of any longer term issues about the storage of nuclear waste from that site, and concerns about any kind of weather leakage or any kind of problems arise from that. It is a very active committee, has representatives from Colchester on it, as well as all the other local authorities that border on the Blackwater estuary. I wanted to report to council that this is a very important committee from the point of view of the longer standing issues affecting it. The Environment Agency is under a lot of pressure to prove that it's storing the material in a safe condition, and particularly with the increase in sea levels. And in due course, we are going to get a more authoritative report from the EA, which points to that. That's the first point I'd make under the representation. The other one is that I had a meeting with the National Nuclear Officer, who is looking at all sites in relation to the government's proposals regarding nuclear facilities. There are big nuclear and so-called small nuclear, but I don't recognise the small nuclear because some of the small nuclear are bigger than the bigger ones, certainly in relation to SMRs in Bradwell. The issue there is that I think we have to be active as a community, because if there was an SMR at on the Bradwell site, not only would there be issues about its safety, but also about its construction, because one only looks at Sizewell and what is happening in Suffolk now. It is horrendous what is happening to all the villages and all the communities around that. The indications are, and I don't want to be too positive here, that the sites said to be being favoured by the government are in northern areas, which politically are sensitive from the point of view is that the local authorities there will have employment which will follow these sites, and it may well be that Bradwell is given up on, but it is still in the long shortlist. Which is there, and I'll report back to council about that. But I think we should keep a wary eye on what is happening with new nuclear.
Okay, thank you,
Councillor
Baker.
This has been a fun one and very enjoyable one. So far, I have sent emails to First National and to the other bus companies, including Chambers, regarding their delays in bus stops. Got people picking people up. I've had a reply back, and also had a reply back from Bernard Jenkins. He's getting in contact with one of the councillors to find out from that way. Because my idea is not just doing dialect, but getting other people involved in it who are affected as well. So Bernard Jenkins is now looking into it. I've asked him to report back to me. He's going to forward back any emails that he receives, and I've sent him all the information. I've sent photographs and videos of buses coming back and forward, people putting their hand up and the buses going past. They still refuse to accept the fact that it takes around an hour and a half for the tide to come up and down. They're still sticking to their 3 hours side because they classify it under health and safety. So I'm looking further into the reasons why they think that way. But as you know, it's on the agenda for tonight, which way forward we're going to go with that. So that's my update so far. So.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Baker. Anybody else? No? Okay, thank you. Move on to 25314 to receive the Town Clerk's report, please.
Okay, I'll make this quick. Rowan Hill Greensword. Being in touch with the solicitor, we sent out correspondence to one of the two residents have agreed to sign the witness statement of truth statement to allow West Mersey Town Council to register land. We're just waiting for the third resident, the correspondence to go through, that to be signed, so hopefully we can move forward with that. Change of Pace's lease is to be signed today. We're in the process of collecting quotes for the skate park repairs. So far we've had two contractors down that have been to visit. Third one is due to come down next week, and we're trying to process that together to look at the repairs. Oyster Park, we've had a reply back from DM Highways. It did get quite convoluted in terms of what we were allowed to do and not allowed. They've since said that we now have permission to lay a path as long as it doesn't touch the highways, and they've requested an all-weather bound gravel path, so it's not loose bound, so it's in keeping with the conservation area. The grounds maintenance contract has went out for tender last week, so we're in the process of collecting those together. Staff training laws, we've been updating staff training certificates to make sure that we're complying with all training. And as we said before, job descriptions have been reviewed in readiness for appraisals in December.
Thank you. So you've been very busy.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Thank you, Kirsty. Moving on to 25315 to agree the updated Mialga agreement. I've got to say, I'm still quite confused by this. Is it this one?
Well, this
or
one.
Is it the
Mersey Island allotment?
Yes, yeah. It's an agreement that we have with allotment holders, I think.
Okay, thank you. It's 25316 actually that I'm confused with. So, yeah, 25315 to agree the updated MEALGA agreement. So, has everybody read the agreement?
Yeah.
Yes.
Does anybody have any comments?
No. It seems to cover everything.
Okay. I've got some comments. The first one being it's open-ended.
Yeah.
And I would have thought that it should run alongside the lease that we have with the landowner.
You mean open-ended in time?
Yes. Yes, in time. It's open-ended. So should it run alongside the time period for the lease with the landowner is the first one, and also a copy of the plan in red, which is mentioned on the agreement, that we should be, if it's mentioned on the agreement, we should be providing a copy of the land marked in red, which Kirsty has sent out to everybody. Yes, that's my comments. Councillor Racker.
I also looked at the time element. My interpretation of that was that if we have issues regarding the actions by lot holders through the association, under this agreement we've got the right just to give notice.
That's right, we do if there's issues.
And that's really quite an important consideration in having an agreement. So to run it with the landowner would not give us that opportunity.
It takes it away, doesn't it?
It takes it away.
Not really, because you could still leave in what it states to do with if you have issues with any of the allotment holders. It's two different issues, I believe. You know, in the same way of an agreement, I mean, with leases, they're time locked with a lease.
But Chair, the ultimate, if I may say, the ultimate sanction here is if we are not happy with it under this, we've got a legal right to actually cancel.
But you would still have that legal right if you.
Which particular clause are we looking at?
You're looking at 4.1. I haven't been involved with it. I would like some advice as well on the thinking of this, but that's my immediate reaction. Yeah.
Yeah, it does give both parties the right to terminate the agreement with 12 months' notice.
Okay.
So that does effectively
cover
it,
okay.
What you say.
Okay,
what you were querying.
Right, okay. If that covers the agreement then, do we accept the agreement with the copy of the plan?
No. Yes, I propose we do so.
Okay, thank you. A seconder, please.
Yeah, I'd have to second it.
Thank you.
I did notice one thing, very small.
Before we go to...
The Gardeners Association, the association is not in bold. I've got it in mine in bold because I changed it. Because it is part of their name, so it needs to be the same typeface and boldness.
Oh, the association.
Yeah. It's a small point.
The word association, yeah.
Can it look
sorry?
Yeah. On mine, I've made it bold, but on yours...
Just the word association.
Right, okay.
Tiny point.
Okay. So with the amendment and the addition of the map, Councillor Hindley, are you happy still to propose?
Yes.
Councillor Jenkins?
Yeah, absolutely.
Second.
I'll second it.
All in favour? Thank you. Okay, 25316, to agree a proposal for the 2026 allotment rent payable to the landlord.
Shall I make a comment?
Go on.
Yes.
The lease says we have to do it from a certain date to a certain date to establish it. The trouble is, there's always a lag in getting the
RPI
figures through of about a couple of months. And they do seem to vary. I've looked it up, you've looked it up. You've heard 4.5,
yeah.
I've heard 3.6 and 4%.
Yeah.
So it's going to be around 4%.
Yeah. May I ask why we would need to determine it right now?
Well, because we send the bills out on the 1st of January.
To the
allotment holders.
Yeah, but I think we can make an estimate. It's going to be around about
4.5%. Well, that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's all we can do. And as far as the landlord goes, it's a set formula.
Yeah.
Which,
and it's in the lease.
So yeah. We'd have to leave it probably till February or March.
Yeah, I think that happened last time when we signed a new lease. We paid the old rent for that quarter, then
we did.
Then,
we
then
back,
paid the additional sum.
Yeah, we did.
So I think we can, well, in my opinion, I think we can guess around about 4.5%.
Yeah, maximum.
Index you look at, though. So the all items RPI, which happens to be 4.5, whereas the other one was 3.8. So
3.8.
Right, through the chair, please. Thank you.
Sorry, big one.
Thank you. I'm going to query though, Bob. I know we've spoken about this, for the need for this to come to council to be agreed, because the wording in the lease does state to hold to the tenant from the date of this lease for the term of 5 years, paying the yearly rent off, and it gives us the amount of rent linked to RPI starting January 2025, so that is given an indication that there's an uplift.
I'd go along with that, as long as at the next meeting we do actually agree the figures for the allotment holders, because otherwise we're going to need all
Yes, of course. So are you happy that we don't have a vote to agree, because it is in the lease?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So
we're
deferring that item?
We're not deferring it. It's detailed in the lease agreement.
Okay.
The next agenda must have on this.
Yeah, okay. Is everybody happy with that? If you want to see the wording, happy to pass this round the table. Do you want to see the wording?
No, not particularly.
No?
So you're saying that the next agenda must have that?
No. The next agenda we should have on there to agree the rents that will be charged to the allotment holders.
Yeah, all the fees.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. 25317, to review and agree and formally sign the final lease agreement for the changing places facility.
Okay.
Right. This is knocking around for ages. Where do you want to sign that? Do you want to pass it in?
Yeah,
Bob.
I need two counsellors. Yes.
Just a side, or?
Yeah, no, don't.
Well, thank you. Well, that's nice to see. Look at that one. Thank you very much. 25318, to review the quotes for the internal audits for 2025-26 and agree which auditor to engage. Have you all seen the three quotes? Any comments?
Could I ask Bob if he's got any comments?
Well, I do. I wouldn't go with Heather Healers for
obvious reasons,
which we don't need to go into.
No, we don't.
Should we be naming the people, or A, B, and C?
Well, they're on here. I don't know whether it's been circulated or not.
I know they're on.
But I wouldn't go with the third one. I wouldn't go with the middle one, because I don't like open-ended, because it just gets out of hand.
Okay.
The first one then, is the obvious choice, but I might abstain on this one, because the last time she did an audit here, she exceeded her remit, which annoyed me thoroughly.
Okay.
So I will abstain from this vote.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Hinterwell, would you like to say something?
Well, that makes it difficult with Bob's comments. I think
as an auditor she's fine, but she exceeded her brief, and Chris
Lyon.
Chair, please. Thank you.
Because Chris Lyon,
yes, you've relayed that to me previously.
But Chair, we could remind her of her brief if we did avoid it.
We could do. We could do. Right, okay. So does anybody else have any comments, please? No? Okay. I'm going to comment as well. I wouldn't recommend for reasons that Councillor Jenkins has briefly touched on. Option B, again, you don't really know what you're paying because of the way that they are working out what their costs are. And the only one to me that is transparent out of the two is A. So I'm happy to propose that we go with A. Can I have a seconder, please? Thank you, Councillor Ackle. All in favour?
I'm abstaining as well.
Okay.
Both abstaining.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. 25319, to agree the WorkNest 5-year contract at a cost of £1,998 plus VAT, subject to an annual uplift of 3%, and the contract expires in 2026. So this is our HR legal advice provider. The history behind it, they sent a...
Just a clarification, that 1,998 is per annum.
Per annum, it is.
Which is insane.
Yeah, it is per annum. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Councillor Becker?
Can we have some report about the usage, which WorkNest were, how many queries have?
How long you got? Does that answer your question?
A lot.
It's used a lot.
Okay.
Or it has been.
Recently.
And it's certainly worth the money that we're paying for how much we've used it.
Yeah, because I think residents would be interested to know that it is value for money we're getting it.
Yeah, it is.
And the viewers, it is.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. Obviously, we can't talk about individual because of the nature of what the policy is, but it is used a lot.
Yeah. We've got new... Chair, sorry to say that we've obviously got new employment legislation which is coming in, and a lot of small employers now are kind of wrestling with the consequences of this. So if we've got them on a fixed term basis, that indeed looks like value for money.
Yeah. Okay. They did come in, and the uplift was 6. They applied 6%, so we went back and queried it. So can I have a proposal, please? Councillor. Bunk Boylan and seconder, Councillor Acker. All in favour?
Yeah.
Thank you. 25320, to agree for the town clerk to attend the Protecting Commons Greens and Open Spaces delivered by the Open Space Society at a cost of £160 plus VAT. Okay, so is there any comments?
Just a question, is it all day? Or is it online, or is it
It's online, and it's across 2 days.
Okay.
So it's two months.
Okay. Yeah. Right, okay. Well, I'm, if there's no comments, I'm quite happy to propose. Can I have a seconder?
Dave.
Councillor Boylan, all in favour?
Yeah.
Thank you. At this rate, we'll be out by 8 o'clock. 25321, to consider an approved grant application of £500 from Refresh Mersey. I'd just like to say what great job they do. I know, Bob, you're going to abstain on this one because you're one of their volunteers.
I have a comment, but I won't go to it.
Okay, thank you. So, has everybody seen the grant application?
Yes.
Yeah.
And do you have any comments?
No.
No?
I'm happy to propose that.
Okay, Councillor Perling proposing. Seconder, please. Councillor Acker, all in favour? Thank you. 25322, to agree a set of dates for the 2026 town council meetings. Kirsty has kindly provided us with a list of dates. Has everybody looked at the dates? Are you happy with the dates?
When did we get that?
Councillor Acker.
Chair, could I thank the town clerk for providing these dates. It's very helpful to have them for the whole year. It should have to be determined by me. I have an issue with the 12th of March. I could make the 19th of March, but I put that forward. I don't know whether others have any difficulties with dates, but I can't make the 12th of March.
I think we probably all have one date we can't make.
Yeah, that's bad.
Not quite sure about the 5th of November. It could be fireworks night, couldn't it?
Would be.
I don't know how many people take their...
Guy Fawkes turning up, is he?
Well, he could do.
Don't make an appearance.
I don't know whether, seriously, I don't know whether people take their grandchildren to fireworks on that day. Yeah.
Right, okay.
I was trying to space them out evenly. Each Thursday.
I gather that.
Yes. So, Councillor, would you like that date changed?
No.
No, the 5th of November.
Oh, the 5th of November.
Yeah, but it's Guy Fawkes, no?
Okay. Well, what difference does that make?
Well, only half of us might not be there. My grandchildren might want to go to...
You've got Fawkes and you're gone.
Councillor Hinterwell.
I notice we're not having a meeting in August again. I don't really see the logic behind that at all. Because we will have at least one extraordinary meeting for
in August.
Yeah.
In August, yeah. In August, yeah. Yeah.
I've already made a meeting in if you want one in August. I think so. I agree with you. That means moving the 30th of July one, doesn't it?
Really? Yes.
Shuffling a couple around there, but
okay. Any other comments? So is everybody happy if we leave the date to Kirsty to circulate out for August? We won't have the 30th of July. Is everybody happy with that? Okay, so with those amendments.
But you still, sorry to go and interrupt, you still want one in July?
You don't want
the 30th of July, you want it earlier?
June, July, no, it's about a month between there, so early August one?
Okay.
Perhaps? First week in August.
Are we having two in?
Yeah, that's gone.
Okay.
Yeah, you do perhaps first week in August.
Take the 30th out and
take
it later. Okay, so with those amendments, can I have a proposal, please?
I'll do it.
Councillor Baker, seconder, please. Okay, I'll do it. Right, all in favour? Okay, thank you. 25.323, to agree the quotation to remove the hydraulics and redesign existing gates to manual opening to conform to the recommendations detailed on the RoSPA safety inspection report dated the 17th of June 2025 at Well House Park at a cost of £1,000 plus VAT. I'd spoke to Carol because it's specialised. We've only got the one quote, if everybody's happy with that. And this was shown as a red, I think, on the RoSPA report, wasn't it? Yeah. So has everybody seen the quotation?
Yeah.
Is everybody happy or is there any comments?
Well, it's a pinch point, isn't it?
It is. It's got to be done.
Yeah.
Okay, Councillor Hinderwell, would you
the
like
only
to
comment is it's going to be painted black, but the gates are yellow at the moment, so can we have them painted yellow to be the same as the rest of the fence, or will they be black?
Oh God, yeah, that finished.
I don't mind, but
I think there's probably a regulation that says it should be yellow or something other than the colour of the fence.
Yeah, the quotation says painted black, but whether that was intentional or not, I don't know.
Okay, so with an amendment of painted yellow.
Well, they are currently yellow. I don't know if that's any reason or
they are usually yellow.
Yeah. So with an amendment painted yellow?
Yes.
Councillors?
As long as that's physically possible.
Okay.
Can I just ask, is it a self-closing gate?
I believe it is, because it's hydraulics.
Yeah. At present.
Well, they'll be moving the hydraulics.
This is going to be self-closing, yeah.
Oh, self-closed systems. Yeah. And removing the self-closed systems, and patching up what's needed on existing parts, they're removing the self-closed system.
It's manual.
So it won't close.
No.
That will be left swinging around.
Well, it'll be down to whoever's using it to close it.
Well, they won't close it then, will they?
No.
That's going to be open, isn't it? Yeah. So dogs will get in there.
Yeah.
So it's not really compliant with anything, is it, really?
I don't know whether it is compliant that you've got to have it as hydraulics.
The whole point of it is that it swings out so that children in can get out quickly if they're in danger. So they push the door. But it puts it the other way because dogs can't get in.
Right, okay.
Because they don't have the ability to obviously open it this way.
Right, okay.
And that's how it should be. Now, by putting a swinging gate on it with no self-closer on it, I think that's just asking for trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, so back to the drawing board then, to see if we can keep the hydraulics on it. I've got to say, in the parks that I was involved in where I was before, they didn't have hydraulic gates. They were manually operated gates with a sliding.
That's a good point.
Well, maybe so, but all the gates I've seen, I have to say,
have
hydraulics on them.
Yeah. I don't think it's a regulation.
No, but it's common sense, though, isn't it? If you're trying to keep dogs out, the last thing you want is it
them to get
closed. Yeah. Okay, so back to the drawing board. Can you obtain another quote? So we defer this item.
Yeah.
Another quote for
pending
with some sort of self-closing system on it.
Yeah, good point.
Okay, so proposal, please. Thanks, Sir Acker. Second, Councillor Acker. Councillor Palin, second. All in favour?
Yeah.
Thank you. 25324, to agree the quotation for the removal, supply and installation of fencing posts adjacent to the footpath to Feldy View Cemetery. Now you've got three options. Have you all seen the options? And do you have any comments, please?
I think my only comment is that it's not consistent, is it?
No.
One says 55, one says 46.
That's right.
Quite a big difference.
Yeah.
I agree we need to do it because we need to keep the farmer's field free. It's a pity it's not in the budget. But I think it's just not consistent. I really don't quite understand why it isn't.
I believe that's because we asked each contractor to go and survey it and tell us what they thought needed to be replaced. So they had different ideas.
So in the May days, think it doesn't need 55 then?
My understanding is that Carol met with BAA down on site and was there, I think, when they went round and did the wiggle test on the posts. I understand as well that we've used, I shouldn't say this, should I really? Sort of for option A, we've used them before, and the work that they've carried out has been pretty good. Any comments? Any preferences?
That particular one that you were talking about, how many posts are they installed?
46.
Because it says supply and install. Oh, yeah, 46.
And four. Retaining posts.
Yeah. Someone else says 55 posts.
And two.
So that's what Councillor Jenkins was talking about, difference in opinion of how many posts need replacing.
Yeah, and also I draw your attention as well that option see, they're rammed in, I think, by a tractor.
Yeah, 46.
Whereas option B, cost post mix.
Yeah, I mean, we've got really two options here, haven't we? We're very, very close. I mean, the importance here is that we get on and get it in as soon as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Before the weather actually changes.
Can I make a propose that we go for option A?
I'd be quite happy, if everyone else is, I'd be quite happy to...
So option A uses post mix, but option A uses a tractor.
C is using a tractor. They're saying that there's knocked in using a tractor unit and post knocker.
The original fence was put in by that method, and I believe it should be you do not want to introduce concrete blocks in there because of the farmers' fields. The original contractor that did it used a tractor and knocked the posts in. So I would actually personally say we carry on with that method. We don't want to start introducing concrete blocks in that footpath area for the fields.
Option A doesn't say that they're using post mix. It's option C, Councillor Perlin, that's saying that they've got post mix.
Okay, which let's be clear which one is using a post knocker.
Well, it looks as if it is option A and not option C. The feedback on option A from the office is that the work that they've previously carried out has been very good.
Yes, so option A is the one that isn't using concrete.
There's two that are not, option A and option B. But option B's quotation is excessively high in comparison to the other two.
Yeah.
So, can I propose option, or Councillor Hinterwell, are you still happy to propose option A?
If that's if that's not using concrete.
It doesn't detail that they're using post mix. And I note further down, there's another quotation where it does on something else. So I would have thought that they would have put it on their quotation. Okay, Councillor Hinterwell, are you happy to propose option A?
Yes.
Seconder? Or does anybody? Councillor Boylan, happy with that? All in favour?
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you. Okay, so 25.325, to agree the quotation from Wargate for the supply and installation of two fascia doors at Coast Road and Willoughby Toilets at a cost of £1,682.05 plus VAT for each toilet block. Councillor Jenkins.
No choice.
I always cringe a little bit at these prices. But they are what they are with Wargate, so we haven't got much choice. I think the only comment I made is the one I sent around by email, is that the units in Willoughby are not grey. White.
Yeah.
They are grey speckles, and the nearest the grey speckle will be the traffic grey.
Mm.
So I think we should go with these quotes. We haven't got any choice but to accept these quotes.
Yeah.
But the one for Willoughby should be grey.
Yeah.
The one for Willoughby... they've quoted to Neville White on the quote. And you're quite right, Councillor Jenkins, we don't have a choice because we have to go to Wargate.
Yeah.
So for Willoughby Toilets, to order grey, not white. Okay.
Yeah, just to clarify for you, that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Right, so proposal, please. Councillor Heathwell, second to please.
I'll second it.
Councillor Jenkins, all in favour? Councillor Ecker?
Yeah.
Thank you. 25326, to discuss and agree the quotations to install a knee-high rail around part of the perimeter of the paved area, the Glee Pavilion rugby area. There's three options. Have you all seen the options?
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Well, first of all, I'd like to congratulate the office on making these so clear for us to understand. It's nice to see it so well presented. However, I must ask, why are we doing this?
One, it's to protect the area from being driven over.
Mm-hmm.
Councillor Hinterwell and myself went up there. There's, I think it's about 26 different broken paving slabs up there.
Caused by
being driven over
vehicles.
Unknown vehicles.
Well, it was originally the tennis club, and they did pay the last bill for replacing those. So who's been driving over them?
No, that's the thing. Everyone's blaming on someone else. But yeah. May
Councilor
I
Hinterwell.
Just elucidate a bit? There was communication from MISA raising safety concerns about broken slabs and trip hazards. So Councillor Webster contacted the health and safety representative, and we all, Councillor Webster and I and the health and safety representative and the clerk, went up there, had a look. Yes, there's a number of broken slabs, and it's clearly caused by vehicles unknown to whoever driving over it. I don't know whether we can blame one particular group, because I've seen various vehicles parked on it at different times. But anyway, we just identified that a possible solution is to put a knee-high fence around there to prevent vehicles driving on from the grass area. Obviously, anyone with a key for the post that's there can still drive onto it, but then they, you know, that would, we hope that they wouldn't. They would be responsible. Because it would, I don't know who's got the key, but it can only be members of MISA.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was our solution to prevent random broken, or help to prevent random broken slabs in the future.
And if I could just add, we did check with our health and safety consultant that there isn't an issue with a knee-high rail up there.
No, that's what happened. That was my next question.
Yeah, no, there isn't.
I can imagine in the dark that would be an issue.
If you go up on the Glebe, there's already knee-high rails up there. So if there was an issue, then there wouldn't be any up there. We've checked. Okay. Any other comments?
No.
Okay. So on. I don't know whether anyone else has noticed this, but on option C, there's no post mix on that one, where the other two quotes are. Okay, so I don't think option A, there's no post mix, but option B on this one is fixing in, bearing in mind that you've got children up there as well and probably going to sit on it, so you want it secure. So can I make a proposal for this one, option B? If everybody's happy,
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Hinterwell. All in favour?
Yep, I'm fine with it.
Councillor Palin?
I've got concerns, obviously, with abstaining. I've got concerns that they're going to fly out there and trip straight over it, because that is right in front of the entrance of the way they access. They come straight out the door.
No, it's not. Which door?
When they come out, is that fence going right along to block the way they access the field?
We've had the right health and safety consultant up there.
There's no
looking
door
at
there. No.
I'm saying that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so.
Has it seconded?
Yeah, it was proposed, seconded, and we voted, and Councillor Powling's abstained. All right?
Yeah.
Thank you. 25327, to agree the quotation to repair the three corroded park benches in school gardens at a cost of £250 per bench, if repairable. This proposal includes a base cost of £250 per bench, and a contingency for the replacement of box sections if deemed unrepairable during the work at an additional cost of £50 per section.
Well, they are good stout benches and they're very comfortable, so yes, if we can repair them, fine.
So can I just clarify? So it's going to cost £250 plus £50 per...
slat, if required.
Right.
Yeah. Which then probably won't be. I wrote a figure down here, probably £1,000, but it could, £1,000, I mean, could be a bit more than that, couldn't it?
How many benches?
Three.
Yeah. And looking at bench three, then I can't see that they're salvageable.
No, they're going to...
they're completely gone.
I would have thought so.
Well. The frames at the end and the back are all sound, aren't they? They don't need any work.
I've only got a picture to go by.
No, I just
so,
don't know. I think the
so
frames are
they could do with being painted.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Well, they painted them because they can do with.
That's not on the quote.
No, because this is just the engineering
part,
isn't it?
Is it something that our grounds team could do?
Yeah, they can do
is
it.
Paint.
What is the history with these benches? You know, how long have they been there?
I've got no history.
You've got no history. Okay.
Kirsty, do you have any?
Long time.
Don't know age or anything.
Long time. Because I walk past these every day and they look pretty sound to me, but that's just in the passing glance.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see on bench three, you can see it's rotten right the way through.
Rust.
Okay, we've only got the one quote again. I think it's a bit niche, isn't it? So, any other comments?
No.
Proposal, please. Councillor Powling, seconder.
Yeah.
Councillor Racker, all in favour?
Yeah.
Thank you. 25328, to consider and agree the quotations for the toilet roof. You've got three options. Councillor Boylan.
Took a long time getting there, didn't it?
Apparently you've got some explanations.
To be fair, it goes back a long way, this, doesn't it? So there may be an element of whether the estimates are still valid to a point, because these are dated in June. So there may be some sort of... I think last meeting I was here, you said about there's two different specs here. They've quoted for different specs. So one of them is a traditional felt covered roof.
Okay, which one's that one?
That's specification two, which is the third one on the list. 16875.
Yeah,
the other two have gone for this, which we spoke about a long time ago, which was this rubber membrane that you can put on the top, which comes with a 10-year guarantee.
Answers the question.
Yeah. I think, you know, these two think it's the way forward. It's very flexible. It's the roof construction is still the same, but this membrane sticks on the top of it. which I think if you imagine it, what they also do is the swimming pool liners, so it's quite robust. So I think that as the felt in me has gone by and the fiberglass has failed, and it is considerably more money, it would probably make sense to go with the unreinforced Renolit alcohol plan.
Okay, so that would be option A or B?
Yeah.
Right?
One or two, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
Oh. Right, any further comments?
Only one. I'm no expert on this at all. One of the criticisms of the existing one is that we didn't use marine ply. And it's not quite even written, it says plywood here, but I would have thought that if it doesn't get wet, it doesn't matter whether it's marine ply.
This is a thing, Bob, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, Joe. So it makes sense. And I think the problem has been the flexibility of it, the movement as well in that type of roof. So this may give us that flexibility.
Yeah.
The heat with the fiberglass was an issue, wasn't it, I think?
Well, sun on it
won't
make it move.
We've definitely got to do something with it.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Okay, so is everybody agreeable then that it's not option C, the third one on the list?
Yeah, which is effect.
Yeah. So it's between A and B. And I went through both quotes and I couldn't see any difference at all between the quotes.
It's going to work.
I would say just nothing to do with work, but having looked at the company's house, the address on quote A, it should be number 44, not number 4. So I think that's just a typo on there. But in terms of the work that's being carried out, they look identical to me. Councillor Hinderwell.
Have they stated a guarantee period, either of them or all of them?
That's what's interesting, because that is one of the points that I was going to ask, but you said a 10-year.
I think both of them
a 10-year.
Yeah, sorry, I think that's a product guarantee.
Guarantee, right, and they're using
the
same product.
From the manufacturer, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, I think we just need to make sure that any guarantee will be valid.
Yeah.
You know, lots of companies could give guarantees and go out of business the next week, and then the guarantee's gone. But as long as it's an insurance backed or some
product,
Okay,
so a conditional.
Yeah, sorry, I was going to say we're probably going to have to go and make sure their quotes are still valid.
Yeah.
So it may be something we could get confirmed at the time, perhaps.
Okay. Yep. Right.
As you said, Joe, the price is the same. I actually propose option A, affirming the warranties and guarantees.
Okay. Is that your proposal?
No.
Seconder?
Just a second.
Okay, Councillor Boylan, all in favour?
Councillor
Boylan? All in favour? Sorry, I didn't get to see your hands.
Yes, I think so, everyone.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
Okay.
Not a roofer. And I don't think it will end up at this price either. I think
it's going to be more.
They're going to need a scaffold and they're probably going to need a roof.
Yeah. There's no scaffold,
So it's probably going to be another £2,000 on top of this.
I mean, having saved it, I should have scaffolding up to be working at.
Their risk assessment. Like that.
So it is subject to
to
the guarantee and we need to bring it back to.
Does scaffolding include an option A?
It doesn't say plus, so it would be.
Right, I've got feeling one does say scaffolding on it, but I can't. I'm just struggling to find them.
Right, okay.
I thought that
it says site management set up on protective measures services.
Yeah.
So certainly the second quote
so that
says
would come
a scaffold
under site management.
Extra.
Yeah.
The second quote does to see it right. Okay, well, A says site management set up and protective measures. So to me, the protective measures would be you'd have your, if the health and safety, you would have your scaffolding. Perhaps, I don't know whether
it's expensive. It's just alarm bells ringing in my head, that's all. It's a couple of £1,000 cheaper. And that's a glib statement. I don't know. Am I being too cautious?
As we said, we need to reconfirm the quote.
I think that, in fairness, Bob, they would be liable for their
own
site safety and access.
Yeah.
Whatever the case.
And if the weather's inclement, will they put a roof on?
Well, that would probably, they'll probably say, we're going to wait till it's dry weather, to be fair. I mean, no,
but if they get halfway through the drop and it's all exposed,
I can't answer that question.
No, I don't. It's just all sorts of things could go wrong.
But it's a what if situation, is it? You know, if we've gone through, we've just voted on it. How would you like to vote, Councillor Jenkins?
I'd like to abstain, but I don't like abstaining, so I'm going to vote for it.
Okay, thank you.
Keep my fingers crossed.
Thank you. Okay, so 25329, to consider and agree the quotation for portable appliance testing, packed testing, for the council office and Rushmere at a cost of £150 plus VAT. We've just got the one quote. Same chap did it last year. Does anybody have any comments if you've seen the quotation?
Carl, does that seem reasonable?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, proposer?
I'll propose it.
Seconder? Jenkins. Councillor Jenkins and Boylan. All in favour, please. Thank you. Carl? Sorry. Thank you. 25330 to approve the invoice payment for 85. Oh, sorry. Are you coming back in?
Yeah.
No, I will be disappearing.
Okay, thank you. Right, 330 to approve the invoice payment for £85 plus VAT covering the replacement of a faulty RCD socket. I just want to clarify, there was an email that went round to everybody stating that our RFO had found this email. That is not the case. It came in by post. So it wasn't found by our RFO, it came in by post. So... has everybody seen the invoice?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't involved in this, by the way, but I'm told that Phil Holman was going to do it over the weekend, but he couldn't do that weekend. So Carl said he'd put an RCD in it because the Christmas lights needed to go on.
Yeah.
So he went along, put an RS, and he didn't charge for anything other than the materials.
Okay.
And it was done at our request. Now, whether it was done along the proper channels.
As we know,
it should be the direction from the
town clerk
at
the time had no nothing about it. But
yeah. Okay.
In other words, it wasn't
through the right process. The local and town clerks confirmed that they didn't know anything about it.
Well, she may not have remembered it.
So does anybody else? Yeah, so does anybody have any comments? Right.
And of course it wasn't helped by the fact that the invoice came in like 11 months after the event.
Doesn't mean to say the first one didn't come in.
No, I don't think there was one.
I think that it did.
Anyway,
okay, so does anybody want to propose this one?
Well, I propose that it was an emergency repair at our request. Whoever requested it, I suggest we pay.
Okay, and a seconder, please. Councillor Weaver, all in favour? Okay.
I'm abstaining.
Thank you.
I did abstain.
Councillor Acker, anybody else abstaining?
Yes, me.
Councillor Boylan?
No, I'll vote for it because I think they did the job. So
okay. I'll abstain. Just the process wasn't followed. The locum clerk was approached and does not recall this at all. So, and also, you know, it's coming so late, but you know, if the work's been done, it's been done. It's just the process for me, and as you know, I do like a process.
No, sure.
And I wasn't on, had no knowledge of it because I wasn't on, obviously I was on council, wasn't I? Yes, I had no knowledge.
With that one.
You may not have been able to say anymore, did you?
Yeah. Okay,
like
so moving on.
So that passes, does it?
Yes.
Yeah. 25.351 to consider and agree options for the disposal documents to comply with the AGAR assertion 10 and UK GDPR compliance. So have you all seen your quotes?
Yeah, can someone explain this? Because I read this and I don't understand it.
Okay, in the new AGAR, there's an assertion 10 which says that we have to comply with the GDPR and data compliance.
Yeah.
So we have storage up in the loft, going back with accounts that should be kept longer than 7 years.
That's not.
And it's not complying with the GDPR. So to be able to sign and tick that box when we do the AGAR.
Councillor Acker.
Where does it say about the 7 year? Because I went through this. And a separate question is, how do we get rid of documents after 7 years anyway? What is the disposal policy?
Thank you, Councillor Acker. Councillor Hinterwell, did you want to?
My understanding was that we had to keep them for 7 years, but we don't have to dispose of them after 7 years.
Yeah.
If you're talking about accounts, that is. Obviously, personal data, people's names and addresses, should be disposed of when they're no longer required.
Yeah.
Which maybe only 2 or 2 years or 1 year or whatever. So we shouldn't have any of that in the loft. But if we have, that's what we need to get rid of, but I don't think we need to get rid of everything in the loft.
We've also got a problem with storage. So in the back room, we have three filing cabinets that are full of information, and we can't move anything into those filing cabinets because they're all full of old equipment, and we can't move them up to the loft.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, where do we put anything at the moment?
No, I do understand that, but I'm not really in favour of wholesale, you know, getting rid of it wholesale because we don't actually know what's there.
No, I would be very worried about doing
that. Yeah.
Mm.
Would anyone have an objection if we asked Councillor Jowers for his opinion on this one?
Sorry.
Because at one time, this is all the stuff in the loft, it was all going to go to County Hall or Essex Records or something or another, but it's still sitting up there. Are we safe to dispose of things after 7 years?
We wouldn't dispose those.
But we're not safe.
No.
No, those wouldn't be disposed. They would, anything that's in a hardbound or anything that we thought would go to David Cooper first of all to check whether he needs to scan it, and then if it needs to be then go to Essex Records, it would go on to Essex Records.
But who's making this
decision?
Who will be sorting through it? That's that's what we're asking.
I think it's quite dangerous myself.
So do I.
I think we need to seek some clarity first, perhaps from the ICO. As to what we can and can't keep.
I think that's straightforward. It's just personal data we need to get rid of. People's names and addresses. That's over how many years old, that's all.
Yeah. So there's documents up there, ledgers and books going back over 20 years, 23 years plus.
Yeah, but that's history. If you see what I mean.
I know when I spoke to the office, I know there's also some empty boxes. I mean, it was a suggestion that if some councillors would like to volunteer to go up there. I mean, I'd love to go up there, but obviously my injury, I can't get up. I'd love to get up there, but I can't. So, and I don't know whether Councillor Acker.
My sense on this item is that we haven't got enough information yet.
Yeah.
I think we need to draw it together and see what all the issues are,
okay.
And then come to consider the opinion.
Yeah, because this quote was for the physical method of disposing of what we wanted to dispose
right.
of, but we
yeah.
don't know what we want to dispose of and how much the quantity of the
documents. I did ask the question, how much is up there, sorry to talk over you, but in bags, because one of the quotes is per bag. So I was trying to work out value for money, being the precept.
We can't, because we don't know what we're throwing away.
But we don't know. But there was a comment, there are empty boxes up there as well. Well, empty boxes, I'd be quite happy to pull up and get the boxes recycled, even if we can do that. Or whether it's deemed as commercial, I don't know.
Well, it would be, yeah. Unless you took it home first.
I couldn't possibly comment. But shall we defer this item then, pending further further clarity on what...
And I move that we have a specific report on this site, what it covers.
Yeah, this is too vague. I don't like it at all.
No. But someone does need to go and look at what's up there and make a decision what to throw away and what to keep.
Yes, well, that won't be me.
No, I know.
I can't get out there.
I don't feel qualified to decide what to do.
No, I can't. No, but it's even looking what's there in the first place, you know.
Can I move, therefore, Chair, we have a report. Referred back, we have a request a report.
Okay. Is everybody happy with that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Who's going to do the report?
Councillor Acker, we're going to defer the item pending the report of what's in the loft. And is it fair to say further clarity on how long we should be keeping documentation and the different types of documentation as well?
Yeah, this is.
And links for attention.
Well, there's going to be all sorts of stuff, aren't
there? I mean, if it's personal data, then it's only for the length of the time that it's required to keep for the reason you've collected the data in the first place.
Everything else, like, there'll be plans up there.
It really concerns me. Okay, so that's Councillor Acker's proposal. I'm happy to second that. All in favour?
Yeah.
Councillor Acker?
Yeah.
Thank you. 25332, local plan, to discuss and agree the next steps. Councillor Acker?
Can I introduce this item, Chair? The Council has had yesterday the updated input from the working group relating to the local plan. I don't make any apologies for the lateness of it because we only got the huge amount of information last Friday at the close of play, and there were many thousands of pages of documents which the City Council released on Friday, mainly relating to the evidential base which they were relying on for the local plan. But the summary really basically is this, is that the City Council Local Plan Committee deferred consideration of the local plan until next week to get more evidence from consultants. And therefore the local plan has been stalled for this period. There are a number of issues which arise from that. One is whether the evidential base actually takes the city that much further forward. And can I say that in relation to Mersey and some of the rural communities as well, that the evidence base, in my view, and I don't say this lightly, is very thin and does require a lot more work to be done. And I'm hopeful that in the consultation, which we're just about starting, that the Mersey and other rural communities can put forward much more evidence in relation to the problems that they're facing. The other issue which troubles me about the whole local plan is because of the delay, and I understand why the delay was made, that it does open up the whole prospect of... planning to be determined by speculative development. And there is some evidence in Colchester that there are plans coming forward by developers which are outside the local plan. There's been no indications, and I've asked for this, whether there's been any pre-application inquiries as far as Mersey is concerned. But I would say my steerage to the council is that there probably will be at least one, maybe two applications which fall out of the local plan, which will come forward. There was a very serious application made for each road near to the Fox last time around. It went to an inspector and a huge amount of money went into that. The legal representation must have cost many hundreds of thousands of pounds because they had two barristers and they had, I think, a dozen or so consultant reports. So there is some mileage, again, in relation to speculative development. But I've got three proposals on behalf of the working party to put before the council for consideration, which you had yesterday. The first, and it relates to the local planning committee on Monday night. We've got not a right to put forward a comment to the local planning committee, but I think as a council we should exercise that right. It's a right based on putting forward, in essence, what some of the concerns which we've got. And I've provided for the council an outline of what, and I think if the council agrees, I should make it. The working party agreed yesterday or Tuesday that I should be invited to do it. And basically what I'm pointing to there is our concerns about the environmental considerations, the fact that the number of vehicle movements in relation to the Strood, the fact that we are an island settlement. I think this is really what marks us out as something completely different from the others within the local plan, is that we are an island settlement with all the issues which arise from that. And the other main issue that I put forward the question that the doctors list is currently closed. There is no prospect of the a new surgery being put forward. But the other consideration, and I'm very pleased that Councillor Parsons has managed to achieve this. I've had a number of discussions with Councillor Parsons about the ability of residents here to put forward comments other than by computer. The chief or the deputy chief planning officer refused that early on, and I had even a discussion with her within the last 10 days, and the indications are that they were not going to concede that, but they have conceded it according to Councillor Parsons, and I'm very pleased by that. But the other issue on consultation is that the consultation is again going to take place during a heavy holiday period. It's in December that it's going to take place. And I don't think that is acceptable from the point of view of giving our residents an opportunity to comment, which will be during a very busy time. So I'm proposing that we seek an extension of at least 2 weeks during the consultation period. The other thing that I'm pointing to is that they are proposing Colchester to have some drop-in events in the centre of Colchester. I've asked them in my draft a note to the meeting on Monday to consider, like Braintree did on the last occasion it did earlier this year, to have some drop-in centres outside of Colchester. So I propose that we should seek to do that, because I don't understand where there are large communities like Mersey where they can't, where the city council cannot have a drop-in centre to explain what the local plan is, and that's what they did in relation to Braintree. So that's the first element in relation to the meeting on Monday. The second element that I put forward is that I put forward on behalf of the working party a letter that should go to Colchester City Council about the environmental considerations. The principal concern here is that as part of the local plan, there should be a proper environmental assessment of what the Blackwater impact could have as far as an additional 300 houses is concerned. And at the moment, the City Council is relying on the fact that it's had various assurances in relation to the water recycling centre. But our concerns are not only linked with the water recycling centre. They're related to ongoing concerns about contamination of various sites on Mersey and ongoing. So that's the second issue which I'm going to put forward. And the third issue, well, is in relation to what specific action that we should take. I, on behalf of the working group, proposing that we should have a specific leaflet which applies to Mersey in terms of the need for residents, drawn attention to residents, and we put forward that we should have a specific leaflet funded by the council to put forward there. And the last element, Chair, I'm sorry I've been so long, but it's a very complicated process which we're in terms of management by this council, and I'm determined if I have anything to do with it that this process which we're going through will be properly managed and dealt with clearly. The third element that I want to deal with is that I think we should have a detailed draft response in the council's own name to the consultation. We don't know when the consultation will end, but we've taken as the immediate steps for the working party to have a further meeting within about the next 10 days so that we can draw up our detailed response, which will come back to the council in early December. So that's my report, Chair, which I invite you to consider. I'm very happy, of course, to deal with any points that arise.
Thank you. Any comments, councillors?
Can I just quickly ask John a few questions on the three documents that you presented, John, yeah. Please? Appendix B is a draft letter that is requested to be sent from this council.
Yeah.
I read the first paragraph and thought, well, that doesn't sound right, because it reads approximately 600 new homes, 300 under construction.
Yeah.
Well, there aren't 300 under construction. There's 201 at Briary Paddocks and 100 at Dawes Lane. There will be some infills up there, and there is a planning application going through. I've already been approved for a few extra houses, 20 or something, whatever it is, on Briary Paddocks. But I think anyone reading this would say, that's not right.
Okay.
So I would suggest 200 plus, which I think is what you've said in your draft.
Yeah,
to do that. So that's the first comment. Okay. The second comment is on the previous correspondence section. Talking about lack of engagement reinforces the urgent need for proper community assessment before going further. This is to do with the WRC. But there was a meeting, which I wasn't at, with Andrew Water, which I don't know whether John was at it or not, but I know Councillor Parsons, Councillor Powling, whoever else was there, left that meeting feeling very positive.
Can I just stop you there? Because both Councillor Acker and myself was at that meeting, and I didn't leave there positive.
You left
there? I didn't, no.
You didn't?
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, I never saw a report on that meeting. I would like to see a report on it.
Okay.
A bit late now, because it's months after it, isn't it? But we seem to have got this conflict. Some thought it was very positive, some thought it wasn't positive, which I didn't know.
Would you like me to explain why?
Mm.
Right, okay. The key... When Anglian Water were asked whether they could deal with extra further development, they're confident that they could by increasing the flow. But by increasing the flow when there's storm, because obviously when we get a deluge of water, then it just all goes into the estuary.
Yeah.
You know, so the increase in flow increases into the estuary, which is adding to the bacteria in the estuary.
Yeah.
And as we know, the estuary is an MCZ,
and Marine Conservation Zone, an SSI. Is it, correct if I'm wrong, is it SAC, Councillor Acker, as well?
Yeah.
And you cannot be seen to increasing to a recovering area. You cannot add pollutants to it, which is to the detriment of the Blackwater.
Okay, well, can I ask what their response was to that?
Well, they're confident that they can deal with the increased incapacity. But what they haven't done is stated how they would deal with the increase on the load in the Blackwater. Councillor Hindworth.
Isn't it? It's different agencies that have different
responsibilities.
The Anglian Water are only need to cope with the flow.
Yeah.
But the Environment Agency are worried about the bacterial load into the estuary, which increases. The more you put in there, the greater the bacterial load. It may be within, specifications, but the amount of bacteria that goes into the estuary increases with increased flow.
Yeah. And were they at the meeting?
No, it was only
Anglian Water. And, obviously, we've spoken before about the reports, the water quality reports. Carcanus was one company that did a water quality report and reported in that report that there was a decline from the previous report. And I can't remember off the top of my head when the previous report was done, but it did note a decline.
Yeah.
It would be good actually to have a report done on the estuary, or if Anglian Water were prepared to have a report done. I think the last one was the Food Safety Agency, but an increased load into the Blackwater could affect oysters, bathing waters, fish. So I'm sorry, I didn't come out of that room confident at all.
Okay, well, in that case, I would just query this lack of engagement. I would write something that we have had a meeting with Anglian Water and certain questions still remain, which we'd like to...
Is that lack of engagement with Anglian Water or lack of engagement with...
Well, it just says lack of engagement, presumably with the council, but
council,
we have met with Anglian Water.
Yes, but can I add, Chair, that the lack of engagement is that we've written now two letters to
Colchester City Council.
We have asked for a meeting specifically on this, right? They have not, they have deliberately, in a way, not responded to that. There is a very big issue here.
Councillor Acker, there is a response from Sandra Salcott,
but
it didn't
address
the
issue.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Okay.
So that's what we took advice on, Councillor. Yeah.
So my only observation, therefore, remains that it should be 200 plus and not 300, because that throws us into some...
It does. But I think the local plan actually said 280 houses, wasn't it?
Which would make it 580.
It was the two estates, 100 on each estate and 80 elsewhere. So that's where the figure
comes from.
Slightly exaggerated.
I would be happier with the phraseology which I had in my council speech of 200 plus. Because I the working party put this forward. The view is, I think we need to be exact in what we're doing in terms of not being challenged. The 200 plus would cover it.
Okay. Can I just ask? Was it said that unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend. But was it not said that 600 would have more of an impact?
I wouldn't like to see that because someone would look at that and say, that's not right.
That is my
concern.
Okay. So with that amendment, I'm certainly agreeable.
I've been contacted just to raise some issues, so I'm going to raise them. Okay. Please don't shoot me down, because I wasn't at the meeting, but I understand Councillor Weaver was at the meeting as well. I just want to check, Councillor Weaver, you're now part of the working group as well, are you?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Has that gone through the council?
don't think I need to.
No, just sort of done.
No.
Okay. Councillor Acker.
Yeah, absolutely right. My view was any member of the council
okay.
wanted because it was such a report could
yeah.
be on it.
Okay, no worries. Yeah, I've got no objections. I just thought I'd ask. Right, okay. I'm being led to believe that it was agreed to engage more with the public. It was mentioned at the working group, and also Appendix A was to start with a statement from the council regarding concerns. Start with a statement. We're different. We're an island. To make a statement about the island and what the concerns are, where we're different from being an island, and what our concerns are. It's been said that we need to demonstrate how we are different and how it impacts the island. Also, I understand Councillor Weaver sort of related to this as well, to do with nuclear as well. Was it agreed that nuclear would be mentioned at all? As I say, I wasn't there, so I said I'd raise it.
No, that definitely wasn't said.
Right, okay.
It's not directly.
No.
It would have been helpful if the individual concerned had actually contacted me to say that.
Okay, this was earlier today, John. They've run. And also to raise the effect on the bathing waters and damage the ecology to the Blackwater, the oysters, the tourist industry.
No, that was not mentioned.
Okay.
The can I answer the point? It was not that we would start on the question of an island. It was referred to during the statement. And if you look at it, in the third paragraph, we strongly wish to state that insufficient consideration has been given to the fact that we are an island settlement.
Yeah. Okay. Was it agreed to put in, both on Appendix A and B, Natural England have stated? I can see there's... I don't have the statement to hand.
There is on the...
It's in the letter.
In B... It's in Appendix B.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't. What I was going to say is I don't have the letter to hand from Natural England to see what was in it, whether that was the entirety of what was in it. But should that be in Appendix A, Councillor Acker, as well?
Well, no. Look, Chair, I'm slightly annoyed by this because we had a meeting of the working party. It's very clear what took place. What took place was that we should include it in the letter that went to the City Council, and it's there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been asked to raise it. As I said, I wasn't there.
Well, I'd just like to say that this Appendix A, which is what's proposed for our spokesman to, if they get the opportunity to say at the meeting on Monday, it has to be 3 minutes, and it can't have all these different aspects in it. It needs to be a sort of top level, something with a bit of impact. But it does, as Councillor Acker says, emphasise that we are an island community, not in the opening paragraph, but in the third one.
Okay, thank you. So I've been asked to raise it.
Yeah,
I've raised it.
Okay,
right.
No, I've just gone from where I started.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Sorry.
I think you didn't interrupt me. Just I didn't quite finish. The penultimate paragraph here, John, on Appendix A. You're going to change that.
Yeah.
Okay. My only other observation is because I'm a bit thick, as I don't like reg and R. I don't know what these initials mean. It would be helpful to me and maybe others if there was an index here that says reg equals something or other.
Bob, I responded to your request to put put more detail. These are not my quotes. These are directly from the consultant.
Yeah, well, I follow.
What you're saying is,
what
you,
I'm saying
you
is
want
that
the
don't
definition
understand.
Of what
don't
they
know.
Are.
Just an index that says reg equals whatever it is. Because
so
otherwise it's just meaningless.
Yeah.
I don't understand what it's talking about.
Yeah,
exactly. A glossary of terms.
Yeah, lottery of terms.
Yes. A lottery of terms. If we could have that,
it
would just be helpful. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
Okay. Are we there now on 25332?
Yep.
Okay. So are we moving on to 25333?
No, we've got recommendations here, which are in the working part. Can we just formally just go through these? There's the presentation of views, that's Appendix A. There's the if we can have agreement by the council to that. If we can have agreement to the letter on the environmental considerations. We put out a statement to local media. That we published a leaflet, which I'll come on to in a minute. That we seek from the council an extension for the consultation period and refer to drop-in exhibitions. We investigate a drop-in session for residents here. We investigate the possibility of a survey in respect to flooding and the Strood impact on access. And we invite the working party to a draft response to Schedule 19 consultation.
Okay, we can't actually take a vote, John, on it. Because the motion is not worded on the agenda to discuss and agree the next steps. What we've got to do is going forward as well, because I know things have gone on agendas previously where it says discuss and agree next steps, but it's been pointed out to me that within our own standing orders, page 12, motions for a meeting that require written notice to be given to the proper officer, which is 9. A motion should relate to the responsibilities of the meeting for which it is tabled. I'm going to go on to B. And in any event, shall relate to the performance of the council's statutory functions, powers and obligations or an issue which specifically affects the council's area or its residents. Now, B. No motion may be moved at a meeting unless it is on the agenda and the mover has given written notice of its wording to the proper officer at least 4 clear days before the meeting. Clear days do not include the day of the notice or the day of the meeting. So the motion needs to be worded on the agenda of what we're trying to move, and our agenda doesn't do that.
Aren't we just agreeing the next steps as on the agenda, Chair?
Okay, you can agree the next steps, but we can't take a vote on it.
Okay, well, I'm happy to put these forward as the next steps.
Okay.
Is that happening? Is that agreed?
Okay.
Thank you.
25333, to consider matters arising from the Extraordinary Environment and Community Services Committee meeting held on the 17th of October.
I
think we've...
Scribbles.
Yeah, did you cover that, Councillor Acker, in the update? Is there anything else to add on that? No, because
No.
Okay, so is there anything else to add on that, Councillor Acker?
No.
Thank you. 25334, to agree to support the Blackwater Estuary Natural Flood Management Project.
I'm not quite sure about the wording of that one. To agree to express our support for it would be more proper, I think, because support sounds like we're, you know, more than just verbally supporting it.
Okay. Should we give some background behind this?
Yeah, carry on.
Okay. Well, we met with, we had a gathering, didn't we? A meeting with the RSPB and the Essex Wildlife Trust. And it was, well, when I say it was all positive, they are using, what's the term? The dredging.
Recharge, isn't it?
Dredge sediment, as referred to as BUDS, to create and replenish sand and gravel beaches to protect coastal communities from flooding, whilst creating new habitats for the beach nesting birds and other key species. The project will be delivered by the RSPB, Essex Wildlife Trust and Harwich Haven Authority, HHA, and funded through the Environment Agency's £25 million Natural Flood Management NFM programme. It was, without going down and finding figures, I think it was, it will help prevent flooding. Was it 290 properties?
Not on Mersey.
Not all on Mersey. It all sounded good, I'm going to say, when we sat down with them.
Because Cobmarsh has already been done.
Yes. 289 residential and commercial properties in West Mersey, Tollesbury and Salcot.
Yes.
So it's protection of 25 kilometres of coastal flood defence and 289 residential and commercial properties. Protection of 406 hectares of coastal floodplain grazing marsh, 240 hectares of coastal salt marsh and oyster lanes in the West Mersey Harbour, protection of boat moorings in the Blackwater Estuary and Tollesbury Marina, and creation and replenishment of 6.7 hectares of vegetated shingle beach habitat for the beach nesting birds. They asked if the council would express their support. And I think the three of us sat with them, and there was, we couldn't see a reason not to support it. It was all positive, all of it.
Yes, they also asked that we, volunteered to put their documentation on our website.
And it's gone out, I saw today, it's been shared through social media. Yeah,
it's already there, okay.
I haven't looked at the website, but it's certainly put on social media, popped up today. And also, reach out to the yachting community, which I've contacted our, as I said, I would, our previous clerk.
Yeah.
And I haven't got to it yet. Okay. Well, so, but I've reached out to, as I said, I would.
And they said they would come to our.
They did as well. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, Bob.
Town meeting.
Would be quite happy to come to the town meeting in April, because we believe this would be of interest to the local community, which they've agreed. They were quite excited about that, wasn't they? Yeah. They'd be more than happy to.
We should also say, John, that it's all fully funded as well, which is rather nice. No contributions from anyone.
Yeah. No.
That's all funded by the EA, I think it was.
It was Environment Agency.
I had £2 million for this project from the Environmental Agency.
It's all positive.
It's all good news, isn't it?
And they're even throwing a boat trip in to go and have a look. But unfortunately,
the weather.
The captain got COVID and the weather was, Oh, right, okay, thank you. Shall we. Got a couple of minutes. Shall we agree what we're going to do with this, and then we'll take a vote whether to move on to finish off the agenda.
Yeah.
Okay. So to agree to express our support.
Yeah.
So a slight amendment. Support the Blackwater Estuary Natural Flood Management Project. Who would like to propose, Councillor Hidwell?
I was also going to say that the object of this is just to raise awareness amongst the population.
Yes, it is.
That's why they came to us to ask for it. But yeah, I'll oppose it.
Okay, second to place.
Second, absolutely. We'll all second.
Half and half.
Yeah,
I think my arm controls your arm.
It's coming on. There's a string on the table. All in favour, please. Councillor Wacker?
Yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Weaver?
I just
thank you, I didn't see it, thank you.
Right, okay, so it's now 9 o'clock. We have one, two, three, four, five items. Do you want to shuffle anything around or do you want to go on?
Just go on.
Go on? Is everybody...
As long as we finish by 9:30, it's fine, isn't it?
Okay. Is everybody okay with that? So can we take a vote, please? Thank you. 25.335 to consider and agree writing to First Bus regarding ongoing service delays and disruption. Councillor Baker.
Why the pet project? As you can see, I've received emails, and one of them was one that I actually wrote out to the various bus companies regarding people being left stranded at bus stops. And what really got my goat with all this is that when you're standing at the bus stop outside certain areas of the town centre, and I look at the Strucan, which everybody on that route does at that specific time, and they can see that the water is down low, being shoved to the bus drivers, and they say, sorry, I've been told by my bus, even if it's high tide, and I know that the street is low, there's no water, I'm not allowed to cross it. That was tons of health and safety. But that's not half the problem. The other part of the problem is that they do not let the passengers know that the bus is going to not go to them. So the bus will come around the corner, no matter where you're standing, and you've got the electronic signs. And it will say, Mersey, all the way through. And even when the dropper, even when the buses, and that goes for chambers as well, not just picking on First National, they all do it. But First National are the worst. They pull in, it then says on the sign of the bus, Mersey. So you get on the bus, you think you're going to Mersey, but halfway through the bus driver then changes the time and he pulls off at the building and stops. So there's no use, so you do not have any idea, no matter what time you're getting on that bus, when the high tide is, because the buses don't care. Their idea seems to be, we're going to cut the service because not many people are getting on it, and yet they then put a single decker on for children, when it's completely packed so they could have all the buses all side up for the school run, they then drop them off, and then the rest of the time it's the double decker buses with take your chance, you could go to Mersey. And I'm thinking, well, if this is what the future is for this and the local plan, if we've got all these houses moving on to here, and sooner or later these people will become pensioners and won't be able to drive, they'll be going on to the bus routes, going into wherever they want to go, not knowing whether they're going to get back in time. And some buses even literally drive past people standing there. And I've had 10 pensioners, and I've tried all the different bus routes, all saying, we're fed up with them coming past, and just driving past. And we even put our hands up, request stop, and they're just ignoring. And even there, the few drivers doing the B-side. And I'm thinking, this is about enough. This is when I started getting involved in it. I wrote to the bus companies. You see the replies I've had back from some of them. Some of them, they haven't been bothered. Because all they keep saying is, we're looking to see, we're waiting to see what the council are going to do with their redefining. So they're waiting to see whether or not their contracts are going to be upheld, or what they're going to do. But they've been using health and safety for long, too long. And A and B are just not joining up. They want to put a service on. To me, it seems like the service is, put the service on, 1:30, Chambers goes at 1 o'clock. So they gradually move that timetable around. So eventually they start looking for the other bus driver, bus routes. Chambers then go, bus companies go out of business, and then Chambers, then First National start pulling their routes. They've done it in Thurrock, they've done it in Scotland. And I'm looking and I'm going, well, why are you doing it? Well, it seems to me they're paid to disrupt, to produce what the government want to do is a 15-minute city. No one will be travelling anywhere. And it seems to me, what the government's now doing with this so-called new tax of pay per mile, which looks like it's going to come in 2038. I think it's going to come in a lot quicker than that.
people will be more reliant on buses than ever before. And there won't be a, if we don't stand up for these bus companies now, they're going to ride roughshod. And so they got the contracts, minimum contract on it, and we don't have to pick people up. And I'm thinking that's wrong. What's the point in having a disabled bus pass if you've got to have buses? And the kids will then be stuck because they can't get into the town centre, because eventually when these kids leave school, they're only putting off at the school bus. I'll count you for one bus coming to Mersey, 45 in between that, and including the Mersey bus, goes going to Monkwick. They're all dropping the kids off. And then when the kids are in school, they pull the services. You could be there standing. You're sitting there waiting there. You get your food. So the 5 minutes before the Mersey or Pelham bus turns up, or whatever it is turns up, and you're sitting. And then they turn their GPS off, so you can't track them on your phone. And then the thing still says Mersey, and then it goes Mersey Pelham. And it's literally potluck. And a lot of people are just fed up with it, and they say, what's the point? We feel like Mersey's now being cut off. It's all right for the car drivers, they can come off from 2 or 5, we'll all stand in the queue and wait for the high tide to come down. When it comes to the high tide, some drivers will ignore what their boss has told them and go and say, oh, it's high tide. I told the driver it was high tide and he stayed there for an hour. And the other drivers, it seems to me it's a potluck as to what the drivers want to do and what the bus company want to do at a specific time. And I don't think that's fair. If you've got a contract, stick to it.
Okay.
So,
right. Yeah. Councillor
Hinderwell. The proposal is that we write to the bus companies, so
okay.
We need to formulate a letter.
We need a draft letter. Yeah.
But obviously, I would. Anyone going to move the proposal? We need a proposer and a seconder. But we have to agree
what the
to write. But right at the moment, we don't know the content of that letter, but we think we can agree to send a letter, the contents to be decided.
Yeah.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll be talking about it forever.
Can I just ask a question, though? Councillor Cunningham, I see that Caitlin, Sir Bernard Jenkins' assistant, wrote back saying if you happen to have the information or wish to share the correspondence as requested below, I'm sure Councillor Cunningham would be happy to investigate. So what's happened there?
Dead issue. I'll try to contact him by phone. I prefer email because it's there and you can't deny it, but you can do it on a phone call. I've sent emails and these emails keep bouncing back. I even sent one to Essex County Council. Emails bounce back. I'm trying every way possible, and it's almost like the same.
Yeah,
wait to see what the government does.
Yeah.
I'm going to contact him again.
Yeah.
To find out. I've kept them doing it every single day.
See, this has gone to Carl as well. So
I tried that.
Is there any feedback from? Okay. Is there any feedback?
No.
From
City didn't want to know either. It's almost like they're pushing it back to Essex County because they're the ones who dish out the bus passes and they're the ones dishing out the contracts. And Essex County seem to be like.
Okay. Can I just bring Councillor Jones into this, please, being that you are an Essex County councillor?
The only councillor here.
Oh, you are actually. Yeah.
Actually, it's purely commercial. Confusing Essex County Council's funding of rural bus routes, they are not on the ones where there's any profit made.
Yeah.
So therefore, what the money from Essex goes into is purely into things like Tollesbury and Salkett and the ones where they have to subsidise the transport. Mersey to Colchester route would pay nothing to at all. And the concept of bus passes is nothing to do with the bus service. It's just if you're of an age, national legislation says you get a bus pass if you want. So other than things like Denji Dart, which we subsidise, and sometimes community transport, we have no say in it at all. What I will point out is that Councillor Davidson did manage to keep the bus going round Pelham because they were going to stop that.
Yeah.
And Chambers came in because they saw a commercial opportunity. It's purely down to what those companies see as making a profit. Sometimes they are fighting against each other. They're trying to sort of outdo. You'll get one bus will go 10 minutes before the next one just to pick the passengers up. But in terms of politics, we have no say in that route at all.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Jones. Right, okay.
Can I just ask the Councillor one question while I've got him?
You're lucky you got me here.
Anyway, yeah. When it comes to bus passes, the bit that I can't figure out is that when people get the they get a bus pass.
Mm-hmm.
8 times out of 10 I get on that bus, the machines don't work. You can get on the bus and they're just like, don't work, walk away. I've been on the bus when kids have got on the school train, the machines are down, and I've counted around about 60 or 70 kids get on, yeah, and not one of them has paid because the machine has gone down.
Well, the company, therefore, yeah, ought to be much more aware of where their profits are coming from. Mm-hmm. It's certainly,
yeah,
nothing to do with the,
yeah,
issue of the bus pass.
Yeah, I think over a month period...
Okay, can I bring it back? Sorry. Thank you. I'm just mindful of the time. Right, okay, so...
We're writing a letter to whom?
Yes.
The bus companies.
First bus.
He said two contractors.
There's
first
two bus companies.
Yeah, we've got First and Chambers on the island.
So is it to write to both,
yes,
First and Chambers?
Both bus on,
yeah.
Okay, so shall we put a proposal forward then that the council writes to support the residents?
Writes to relay the concerns of the residents over the bus.
To both,
yeah,
First Bus and Chambers?
Yes.
Wording to be agreed?
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Are you proposing that, Councillor Hinderwell?
If you like, I will.
Seconder? Thank you. All in favour?
Yes, absolutely. Who's going to draft it? Just
I'll draft it. I don't care. I don't like the word
email.
Okay,
25336 to consider the condition of West Mersey Beacon, review options,
yeah,
for each repair and agree on the necessary next steps.
I think we've all seen the picture of it, have we? Laying on its side, whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised because I thought it was out, but it shouldn't not have broken.
Yes, I have some information.
Councillor Hinderwell, would you like to relay the information that you have?
I spoke with Richard, who was the owner of Maydays, who supplied it in the first place,
yeah,
and his comments were that it shouldn't have been buried in the ground like it was because of the water table was quite high there, so
yeah,
that oak post was constantly wet. Anyway, what he suggested to me was that we saw off, say, 6 inches from the end to find sound,
yeah,
wood. That way we can reuse what's left,
yeah,
as long as it hasn't rotted all the way up, which is unlikely. Yeah. No. So he suggests we saw off the end and then get the only steel fabricator on the island to fabricate a base of sufficient size with a column in the middle where you could slot the oak post in and keep it off the ground so water didn't pour under it, and then have a suitable number of fixings to fix that to the existing concrete base if that's sound.
Mm.
That was his suggestion, so I don't know if there's been any other suggestions. I don't know if anyone else has got any other ideas, or it's either that or we start again. And
which
come
would
across
be very
the same.
Expensive.
No, it would start again.
Yeah,
no.
It'd be really good. Sorry.
The other thing is, of course, do we actually need to do it right away, or is there a need for the beacon in the near future?
No, there's not. But we can't leave it where it is, which is presumably.
Oh, is it still there?
Is it removed?
It's
still there. Is
oh,
it?
Oh, I understood it was going
to
be moved
to the yard
to Rushmere.
Yeah.
Well, whatever, it needs to be removed.
Yes.
It can't be
yeah.
left there.
It's not in the budget, obviously.
No, but it needs to be done. We can't.
Yeah.
Can't
yeah. First thing is to remove it to
yeah.
a place of safety.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the first
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. But so, would it be fair? Does anybody else have any ideas? I mean, it's using the existing post.
Yeah.
It's broken off at ground level, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Well, it was sitting in water, basically, so it's rotted.
Yeah.
An unknown amount, but we need to saw the end off to find
yeah.
good wood.
Yeah.
And then
but
start from
it
there.
It wouldn't reduce the height much, would it?
Well, the proposal is to put it into a sleeve,
yeah.
so
yeah,
that
no,
could actually be
yeah, no,
off
yeah.
the
yeah.
ground anyway, so that should replace what you've
yeah,
cut off in theory.
Yeah, you cut it off, but it, if you do what you said, is put it in the sleeve and sit on the concrete, then it's not going to reduce the height.
No, but you really want to.
No.
Yeah, no, we'll reduce the height.
And it depends on whether the bases will take.
I don't mind looking into this.
Because if you put something.
You know, if that's what you'd like to sort of come up with some options.
Well, that was the idea that I was. Plan view would be like that, and you know, with a sleeve, rectangular sleeve that you drop the post into. And within that sleeve, you'd have maybe a bolt or another welded piece to keep the bottom off the ground so it didn't sit in a pool of water.
Okay, so. So, how would you like to proceed? Because we are review options for its repair and agree the necessary next steps.
Well, I suggest we adopt that idea and we get a costing for it and we move it to a safe.
I mean, I'm not, okay. You know,
do you want to investigate other options, Councillor?
I think that's a fairly sensible option, idea, but if you want me to go off and try and find some costings to get something like this.
There's only one person on the island.
On the island, but there's others about. But
we seem to have used it for everything. But I know, it's just.
It's up to you, I just.
I'm quite open to other ideas. Yeah. I mean, the one thing I think that's been said is not to sit it in the ground.
It just mustn't sit so there's a pool of water because it would just.
Yeah, just same thing's going to happen.
Same thing will happen eventually.
Post, isn't it? Eventually it'll get rotten because it's sitting.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially there.
We'll be able to use it as an Easter basket. Right, okay, so shall we. So the next step being.
Well, the first step is to remove it to place safe place.
Place safety. Once we're at capacity, staff-wise.
Well, whenever possible, as soon as possible.
As soon as possible.
I think the basket's already been removed, hasn't it?
Has it?
I don't know. That's what I was led to believe.
Right. I think it's still there.
Is it? Okay.
And then quotation.
Options.
Look at all options.
Yeah, because I mean, this is an idea, but someone might say, "Oh, that won't work because of this or because of that."
So you're happy to do that, Councillor Boylan, as well? Okay.
And then bring it back to council. Bring back some ideas.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I'm quite happy to propose seconder. Or can we not? We can't.
No, we can't.
We can't, can we? This is
just agree.
Standing order, sorry.
Let's move on. What did it say? You know, what was it?
It's
consider.
Yeah.
Stop doing review next steps.
And agree on the necessary next steps.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay, so necessary next steps to secure what we've got and then investigate.
Yeah. Okay, so that's 25.336 then.
Yep.
So moving on to 25.337, the decision was made by the town clerk using her delegated authority for up to £1,000, excluding VAT on repairs, to pay for the emergency roofing repairs at the Glee Pavilion at a cost of £850 plus VAT. And looking at the state of that, it was the right thing to do.
Yeah,
annoys me.
Well, it's one of those things you wouldn't have known
was
going to happen.
Yeah, you wouldn't have known, but absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, that's just for information, isn't it?
It is. It's so that we're compliant with what we have to do. So we didn't reshuffle. We agreed to just carry on. So I'll just carry on. 25.338, to agree and adopt the civility and respect model, Councillor, Office of Protocol. Has everybody got a copy? Have you read it?
Has everybody read it?
Can I give you a bit of background?
Yes, please.
It was after completing the code of conduct course and talking to some people from the SLCC, and it's a lot of councils adopt this, and it's good for everybody to really understand the respective roles and responsibilities on both sides, who, where, and who to go to, and for advice if you have concerns, and who's responsible for making decisions. It probably has arisen, if I'm truthful, from councillors asking myself to act on behalf or to intervene, but when other councillors have had disputes with each other, that I have certain powers to do something. That's my understanding, that I don't have that power. I have to remain impartial, and so it's just myself sort of reiterating that I do need to remain impartial, and that if you have disputes with each other or you have differences, then it's up to you to bring those decisions or those concerns to the monitoring officer, if it's a code of conduct, or to resolve them with each other. But it's not my responsibility as town clerk.
Did you not get a magic wand?
No,
no,
did you?
Or a big stick.
Or a big stick.
Yeah. Right, okay. Any comments, councillors?
Yeah, that's fine. There were a couple of things in that.
It's come from the NALC. There was a couple of typos, weren't there?
Well, yes, there could be a couple of typos, yeah. But my comment was that there's... couple of things that conflict with some of our existing policies.
Yes.
So, in so far as who can speak to the press,
yeah.
If you read this this document, it states that chairpersons of committees,
yeah,
can make statements to the press, and that contradicts what we've got in our press and media policy. So, I don't have a big problem with that. We just have to put a caveat with this if it contradicts another policy or an existing policy, that policy takes precedence.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm surprised
it was in there in the first place.
Well,
yeah, well,
really.
Yeah,
yeah.
The council wants to address,
yes.
I mean, we could say, you know, perhaps excluding that paragraph, because I've done exactly the same. She had printed off the press and media, and it doesn't detail chairs of committees.
Well, it's just there.
That's my first scribbling. But I can see that you've got some scribblings on there, Councillor James.
Oh, I haven't actually. I read it and I felt this is disappointing. in as much as we shouldn't have. Common respect.
Absolutely.
I'm not arguing about it.
Yeah.
It's like when I go in a shop and it says,
I
do not disrespect the staff.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have to say that.
Yeah, I know. No, and in fact, it's in the council's conduct anyway.
It's all in
how to behave.
It's all in.
But I know this is a document that, as Kirsty said, was issued by the Society of Local Council Clerks, or whatever, SLCC. And it was obviously clarify everything, because I know clerks have a lot of problems with councillors and vice versa.
Wasn't it a few years ago?
Yeah, well, but generally speaking, people don't always know what's what.
Yeah, I've got some. If nobody else has got any questions, I've got some as well. That was one of them, I've got some as well. I was a bit concerned as well that page 5 details provide support and learning and development opportunities for councillors to help them in performing their various roles in line with the council's training and development policy.
Well, that's the trouble.
We haven't got one.
No, I know.
We need a policy, otherwise we've got to... Well, as you say,
follow it in principle.
Yeah.
Word for word, taking it as it is, in principle. The whole point of this is there's
yes.
a council's
yeah.
sign, yeah. that the certificate that you put up on your notice board that
yeah.
show that as a council you adopt civility respect to the public, for volunteers, for the council, for everybody.
Yeah. I agree with you, but providing this doesn't override what our own policies are. I mean, the last one is, and you may disagree with this, but it says councillors should not involve themselves in the day-to-day running of the council. Now, I kind of feel that from a chair of personnel, to me that is part of the day-to-day running, and as we know, our terms of reference, I know Councillor Hinderwell is going to disagree, but the... the terms of reference of the personnel committee states that three councillors deal with the day-to-day running, so that conflicts with the wording it is, and then you have three for dispute. So you're always, hence why certain councillors get phone calls during the day to talk about personnel, you know, with different matters.
Personnel's a top level thing, though. That's still, not day to day running of the council.
As I said, well, you've got to agree to disagree.
Yes, I think we might do.
Okay, so what is the proposal going to be then? Do you think is that we accept to adopt the civility and respect model, except where it conflicts with our own policies.
Our written policies, yeah.
But it was actually quite nice to read. I thought, God, is that what we should be doing?
No, it wasn't that.
Chucking spears at each other.
I just find it disappointing that she didn't have the need to write that sort of thing.
Yeah. There are councils around who would need it.
Yes, okay, so I propose that we accept it with those conditions. Would you like a second, please? So don't tell me now that a whole lot of you are going to abstain or against. So, all in favour?
Oh, yeah.
Councillor Rucker?
Yes,
We need to take a vote now. Thank you ever so much for coming, everybody. We now need to take a vote to resolve that due to the confidential nature of the business to be transacted, the public interest be excluded pursuant to Section 1 of the Public Bodies Admission to Meetings Act 1960. So, can we take a vote, please? Thank you.
I second that.
Thank you. I'll propose it and second it. Thank you. Sorry, John. There's a lot to get through. Right, okay.
And next time I'll make a report, but I'll give you 3 minutes.